Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel lectionary shifts to John this week and stays with John's gospel for another several Sundays. And as most of you know by now, I do get a little bit tongue-tied in most of John's gospel. John's gospel is not the simple story we see in the other three gospels and is sometimes confusing and seemingly out of chronological order. But today's gospel is one of the rare parts of John's gospel that does seem pretty straightforward. And since we're shifting gospel, it bears a moment of commentary on John's gospel generally. The gospel of John reminds us that nothing Jesus does is without meaning or purpose. But this meal in today's gospel served to the multitudes is as close as John's gospel gets to the Last Supper story we see in the other gospels. And it is revealing to consider Jesus wants us to look beyond the satisfaction of daily needs and look to the deeper meaning of this gospel story. This story of feeding one's body and soul. This story of bread and feeding the multitudes. Do you remember when you first came to the altar to receive communion? I don't remember the very first time, but I do remember when I was a little girl and my parents were still married and we attended a brand new church in a brand new community in Reston, Virginia. This was one of those planned communities, somewhat like the Woodlands north of Houston. And it had all sorts of modern appointments, and it was so modern that the church didn't even have a building at that time when we first started attending. We met instead in the community center. And the room we met in was much like our own parish hall with chairs and a table and no real altar area. And we would gather as a relatively small group of Episcopalians in a circle. And when it was time for communion, the priest would say the words that I say today from the altar. And then he would consecrate the elements and then pass them around the circle. We never used the wafers that we use today. And we used an earthenware chalice, much like the set I keep in my office. And to this day, I remember the experience as very moving, and it seemed to hold the feel of the day, not unlike the story in John's gospel. We have gotten a bit far from the grassy hillside and the loaf of bread, and I suspect we've done a little of that in our own spiritual lives, too. So how can we get back to the mystery and holiness of our holy meal we gather each week to share? It's nice to gather together here at church and share our beautiful liturgy and hear some Bible stories and, as my sister calls it, get all prayed up. But we have moved away a bit from that first meal, or even this meal John's gospel recounts, just a little bit. The Sunday Eucharist is the one time of the week that we all come together in our community of believers and share a common meal. It's our time to share our common liturgy with all believers. Too often we just mouth the prayers and we come to the altar and we stick out our hands and we sip or we dip and we return to our seats. But let's just think and renew our excitement about this meal. Let's take this time to think about what a precious moment our shared meal brings us each as we begin our week. Our church is a liturgical church, which means we follow that beautiful Book of Common Prayer that has its origins in the Bible and follows certain principles as we make decisions related to our liturgy. One of the first principles that I like us to think about is that the entire congregation celebrates the liturgy. You'll note that the priest is called the celebrant. And that reminds us that we're involved in a celebration each and every Sunday. I'm just one member of the group who presides on behalf of our community. Our community. The second principle is the realization that our liturgy and the things we say and do during the liturgy are not just things we do while we pray, but every time we reverence the cross, every time we cross ourselves, we are actually praying with our bodies, with ourselves. I remember when I was first trained as an acolyte, and I can't wait because this morning is Skye's first morning as an acolyte, and she'll come back from Sunday school and serve at table. It was so scary, and she said, "I'm a little scared." It was so scary to be up at the altar and touching the chalice and the wine and the water. And to this day, I still feel a sense of awe as I stand behind the altar, realizing that we are in the living presence of the Lord. Our every move while in church is prayer. Think about how our sisters and brothers in other churches pray. We've often seen the black preacher who brings his arms up, or the church member who speaks back to the preacher during the sermon. That's not our tradition. We keep our arms politely at our sides, and we certainly would never raise our arms or other parts during hymns or sermons. But think of those words we will hear in just a few moments. Joining with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We are engaged in a prayer and celebration together. Not just mouthing the words, we are joining with all the company of heaven. Just think of it as we sing together today in just a few minutes. And a final principle to think about today when we consider our liturgy and today's gospel message. Not considering what the liturgy means, but rather what the liturgy does. It's a thing of mystery and beauty and should not be translated and explained, but rather experienced and lived week after week. Jesus took those loaves and fishes and he fed the multitude with just a few loaves and fishes to start. Instead of thinking of him as a king and crowning him, he wants people to see the love, the generosity, the caring that God has for his people, for us. Jesus walks away when this talk of kingship comes up and elevating Jesus to king comes up. Jesus doesn't want to be crowned king. He just wants to love each one of us, each one of you. Jesus wants us to do, to live, to experience his love. He wants his way and life in each of us. He expects us to be present and put aside those other things that are distracting us from our relationship with God. Jesus in John's gospel continues to care for his disciples by calming the sea, just as he will calm our own stormy seas and choppy waters. Today, as we approach the altar to share in our weekly remembrance of Christ's gift to each of us, consider the gifts you might give to one another in love and generosity and caring. Who needs a phone call or an email, or in today's modern jargon, a tweet or a text? As you receive the gift of bread and wine, consider a gift that you will share with others this week. Know you are doing exactly what your Savior wanted of you, and be joyful and be present as we commemorate the love Jesus has for each one of us. Amen.